Abelard. You can't do this to me. This is a democracy.
You got your ideology mixed up, writing man. Here I am king. Now, I give you just 5 seconds to kill your ridiculous story. Yeah. I can't believe it. What is it?
Then there is a Spider-Man. And I thought the police were pulling my leg. Wow! What a story!
No crawling insect is going to spy on me. Get him, boys. Out on the terrace.
Boys, I'll tell the kingpin you're tied up.
He's more dangerous than I thought, but I can handle him.
Welcome to the Generation Exploitation Podcast. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. That track that we just heard, titled Hellraisers, composed by a guy named Sid Dale, S-Y-D, Sid Dale, from London, England. And today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Mr. Dale, as well as a man named Ellis, a guy named Bob Harris, a fellow named David Lindup, a guy named Bill Martin, a guy named Phil Coulter, a guy named Johnny Hawksworth, and a guy named Alan Hawk Shaw. And all of these men had their music featured in the background of the late 1960s Spider-Man cartoon that we all know and love, with directors such as Sid Marcus of Looney Tunes fame, and of course the notorious Ralph Bakshi, who went on to direct the animated Fritz the Cat, and of course Heavy Traffic, and some more controversial things like Coonskin and the animated Lord of the Rings, love it or hate it. But today we're focusing primarily just on Spider-Man and I've come across some of the original masters to the music in the background of the original Spider-Man cartoon, and we're going to juxtapose today the sounds of the actual TV show and then the crystal clear, beautiful sounding, amazing, rocking background music from the Spider-Man cartoon. And all these songs, contrary perhaps to popular belief, actually have names. All these songs do have names and were composed by specific people, even though they didn't get the credit, and to this day still remain rather anonymous when you watch the Spider-Man cartoon when it's rerun late at night, or perhaps you have the DVD. Anyways, we're going to go through the background music today and explore together.
Help me, you fool!
Thinks of everything. He's blown up the elevator.
You win the round, Spider-Man, but I win the fight. Remember the Black Box.
Yes, there we go. The familiar background music from the late 1960s Spider-Man cartoon. Something you probably don't know, even if you've heard that music a thousand times, is that that last song was titled The Eyelash, composed by a guy named Johnny Hawksworth, and the track before that, titled Latin Gear, also composed by Johnny Hawksworth. Now, this music that was used in the Spider-Man cartoon, primarily the stuff that was used in the last half of the series when it got really kind of dark and creepy and weird, was all what we call pin drop music. Similar to music that is available in the public domain, pin drop music was music library stuff composed specifically with the intention of being sold to film companies or radio production units to use in the background of whatever project they had going on. And a lot of the music that came from the Spider-Man cartoon, including these two tracks we just heard composed by Johnny Hawksworth, is from the KPM Music Library in England. That's why sometimes you'll hear this familiar music from Spider-Man in other things, whether it be a Doris Wishman exploitation movie or a 1970s Molson Canadian commercial, or, as some people have told me, in episodes of Dallas or Doctor Who. This music was available to anybody to use, but now we're most familiar with it from, of course, Spider-Man. This stuff from the KPM Library, and we're going to listen to some more stuff from the KPM Library right now. The next two tracks off Spider-Man, composed by a guy named David Lindup, or Lindup, L-I-N-D-U-P, from the KPM Music Library.
Something's going on. My spider sense is tingling. I don't like this.
Welcome, Spider-Man. Thank you. bad for an artificial birdcage. I'll let you out next summer, Bertie.
Nice and quiet. Gives a guy a chance to relax and look at the stars. Yeah, it's peaceful up there. Boy, look at them twinkling away. So peaceful.
We discovered the secrets of Dementia 5.
The evil Infernata would destroy everything, our entire galaxy, even this planet of Gore, rather than let his secrets be known.
What we have discovered, all our endless work, it must not be lost.
It won't be, old friend. Come.
What is this?
The Library of Gore. 100 tons of wisdom and learning.
You are destroying the library?
No. The books are being fed into the giant mega computer, where they are read and their information captured on magnetic tape. The information from this tape is then transformed into static cosmic energy, which is then discharged into a tiny information storage module. And now, the entire Library of Gorth is stored in this small sphere. I must escape with this to another galaxy so that our discoveries will not be lost.
Quickly, then.
You are correct. I have no time to lose. Farewell, old friend. Our culture will not be lost.
Farewell.
Thank you. King Boy. What right has he to interfere in my conquest of the universe? I will destroy him.
What's that laughing? What's going on?
Cannot escape, Infinata.
I'm going through some sort of force field. Impossible, but it's happening. I'm out of control. I've got to stop it. Stop it. What is it?
Come forward into the realm of the infinite. Come forward into Dementia 5.
Nice place to visit, but...
Silence! You have not crossed the threshold yet. Observe. Climb the stairway of mystery, then cross the threshold of reality and enter into the realm of Dementia 5.
I can't stop myself. I'm being pulled up the stairs. What's there? What's on the other side?
Closer.
I can't stop myself.
What can you say, really, about that terrifying audio from a terrifying Saturday morning cartoon directed towards children? That notorious episode of Spider-Man, titled Revolt in the Fifth Dimension, was never actually aired on ABC. The network executives rightly thought that this episode would scare children, so it never actually aired on the normal run. Revolt in the Fifth Dimension was the final Spider-Man cartoon produced in this series. ABC nixed it, did not allow it to air. However, in subsequent years, it did enter the package of syndication. So that's why so many of us saw it as children, if we grew up after the initial run of Spider-Man, after 1967-68. And it's pretty intense, as you could tell just by listening to it. And actually a very similar plot with a lot of the same animation, same villains, and some of the same music also appeared in an episode of Rocket Robin Hood that was also produced by Krantz Animation in Toronto and in New York. And the name of that episode of Rocket Robin Hood was Dementia 5, in this episode of Spider-Man Revolt in the Fifth Dimension. Now, the music that we heard, first I'll mention the bass line, the bump, ba-da-dum, bump, ba-da-dum, was a song called Drive On, composed by Alan Hawkshaw, not to be confused with the other guy on our show so far today, Johnny Hawksworth. This was Alan Hawkshaw, Drive On. And the sort of trippy, psychedelic, weird sort of sounds that we heard were also composed by somebody over there in England, a pair of dudes named Bill Martin and Phil Coulter. For years, anybody who's seen this episode of Spider-Man has talked about how trippy it is, how drug-induced it seems, how psychedelic it feels. Well, parents across the world would probably be shocked to learn that the title of the psychedelic sort of sound effects and music that was playing behind Spider-Man and the villains in this episode, composed by Bill Martin and Phil Coulter, the actual name of the track is LSD.
Well, I did it again.
You, Parker! Where in places have you been? Some crummy kid you turned out to be. You never even showed up to see your team win. You wanted a crack at the team, huh? You can't even be a good water boy. Get out! You're through.
Even the life of a famous superhero like Spider-Man is not all victory and fame.
Seize him!
I'd better watch it or I'll wind up in Hoboken.
Cities to rule the heavens. All I need is the secret invisibility serum, and I, the Sky Master, shall reign supreme. Of a famous superhero like Spider-Man is not all victory and fame if you're a born loser, like Peter Parker.
coming after me. Got to get back into the entrance. My only chance. That's certainly someone I never want to meet again.
Thank you.
We're winding down here now on the Generation Exploitation podcast and our salute to late 1960s Spider-Man music. Listening to juxtapositions between the original muddy sound of the background music from the cartoon and the original masters that have recently been discovered, unearthed from the KPM Music Library, primarily music from the second and third seasons of the Spider-Man cartoon. You won't hear a lot of your favorite background music from the first season, the stuff that was composed by Ray Ellis with a hand from Bob Harris, because apparently those masters have been corroded away. Ray Ellis did own some of them, but they've since been destroyed, as far as anybody knows, anyways. So this is primarily stuff from the darker years, the second and third seasons, when Spider-Man got markedly more creepy and weird. But I will tell you what we just heard. We heard two tracks by a guy named David Lindup, or Lindup. A track called Stand By, preceded by a track called Juggernaut. Before that, we heard all about a born loser like Peter Parker. The song accompanying that was called Walk and Talk, composed by Sid Dale. Before that, another track by David Lindup about the evil Sky Master, titled Zero Hour. Before that, we heard a track by Alan Hawkshaw backing up the Kingpin called Beat Street. And then before Beat Street by Alan Hawkshaw, we heard Beat to Begin by Johnny Hawksworth. Very confusing, these two. And started off this set with a track called Quite Contrary, composed by Sid Dale. Paul Soles, the Toronto-based actor who portrayed Spider-Man and Peter Parker in the original 1967, 68, 69, 70 Spider-Man cartoon that we're worshiping today, has a website called WallopinWebsnappers.com in which he describes his experiences on the show and the roles that some of the other actors played.
Hello, this is Paul Soles, the original voice of your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Let me introduce you to the men and women who first portrayed in sound the enduring characters from Marvel's The Amazing Spider-Man. Why were the tracks recorded in Toronto with Canadian actors? From its inception in the 1930s, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has nurtured an extraordinary radio acting community. Searching for a pool of talented performers readily available and prepared to work for reasonable rates, New York producers found a veteran CBC announcer-producer in Bernard Collin. Thus began a relationship that built an industry. It began in the late 50s. It flourished for 20 years. Pinocchio, Wizard of Oz, and Return to Oz were early productions. Later, there were others like the Marvel superheroes, Rocket Robin Hood, Professor Kitzel, The Spirit of 76. But it was the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer TV special in 1964 that put the Toronto industry on the map. NBC producers Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass mounted a full-scale presentation of the Rudolph legend that has enchanted families now for 40 Christmases.
Since I played Hermie, the misfit elf who wanted to be a dentist.
Well, I'll tell you more about that show later. In 1967, ABC, through Steve Krantz, contracted Grantry Lawrence Animation to produce the Spider-Man cartoon project. By this time, Collin had recruited a sizable stable of versatile voice professionals. And from this roster, he chose Paul Kligman, Peg Dixon, and myself as the principals, and offered the major villain roles to others. Bernard Collin defined a noble breed of radio craftsmen known as far back as the 20s as announcers. He was co-creator of one of Canada's first national jazz radio programs, the 1010 Swing Club. As the man who produced the voice tracks for Spider-Man and so many other TV cartoons, he was unmatched for remarkable tact and leadership. You can hear him as nearly every cop, warden, sometimes villain, narrator, and what have you, in the cartoon. If ever a man was born to a part, Paul Kligman was built to be J. Jonah Jameson. A hearty bull of a man in build and countenance, he was in real life gregarious, genial, and often gentle. The comedy team of Wayne and Schuster hold the record for the most appearances on The Ed Sullivan Show, and as the dependable second banana to Frank and Johnny, Paul had a role in all of their sketches. While one side of Kligman's personality showed as the bombastic publisher of the Daily Bugle and gruff reindeer coach Comet in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he also had great humanity. Peg Dixon, long-suffering secretary to old JJJ, friend and would-be romantic interest of Peter Parker, and supporter of Spider-Man. Peg was noteworthy for supplying nearly every female voice in the series. And because she was so versatile, Peg was regularly called for network radio drama and commercial voiceovers. She was also married to Ed McNamara, who played Rhino, one of Spidey's several sinister villains. She now lives in Victoria, British Columbia.
We'll be right back.
Absent. That's our tribute to late 1960s Spider-Man cartoon background music, courtesy of the KPM Library, the original masters to much of the background music from seasons 2 and 3 of Spider-Man. The last two tracks we just heard, both composed by Sid Dale. One track called Stop, Look and Listen, the other one Slipstream. And we'll leave you with one more by David Lindup called Veiled Threat.
Contact.